I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We're on the radio from 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, no matter where you live in the world, go to the iHeart app, John and Ken on Demand, and listen to the podcast. It is the radio show. Anything you missed, you can click in, and you can do it even if you're sitting in the Arctic Circle at 3 a.m.
You can pick watching us the up. Northern Lights or the...
Watching the Northern Lights.
Our next guest sent a photo. I'm looking at it right now. It looks like downtown Culver City. It's actually striking, and it looks like he's already on the air. Eric, could you please take care of that? Okay, thank you. It's got a red bike lane. It actually says it's a red lane painted. Only bus bike with arrows and then actual drawing of a bicycle. Then to the right of that, looks like it takes up more room before you get to the curb. There's something else colored in. We'll ask him what it is. Little planter boxes. A platform, because the platform leads to the curb where there's a bus station, I guess, where people wait for the bus, then walk across the platform and catch the bus, which probably stops there. But it looks like it's taking up almost half the lanes.
It's actually two-thirds, because there's only one traffic lane that goes straight.
That's right, and then it's the other direction. There's a turn lane.
So one lane looks like it's got the bus platform and planter boxes and... maybe there's parking spaces down the road. It's hard to tell. Middle lane is for bus and bike. Left lane is for cars. Wow. Yeah. They've had a lot of bad traffic problems on this street. I wonder why, when you give away two-thirds of the lanes.
So they voted 3-2 to eliminate the protected bike lane to add more car lanes. One of those who voted yes is Dan O'Brien. He's our guest who sent us this photo. Let's put him on the air now and talk about the specifics of this decision.
Hi, Dan.
Welcome to the show.
How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Great. Yeah. So what's the history? What's the history?
Yeah, you sent the photo for context. So explain what we're looking at.
Yeah. So we had a big council meeting. I think there were over 200 speakers on Monday night, and we went until about 3 a.m. And there were three options that were presented to us to vote on. This whole stretch of 1.3 miles is a combination of what you see here, which is a bike and bus lane. And for the other two, so this is one third of it, two thirds of it have a separated bike and bus lane. So you have one car lane, one bike only lane, one bus only lane.
So and wait, hold on.
Bike only lane.
A bike only lane and a bus only lane and a car only lane. Seriously.
Correct. So where we originally were here, you weren't too far off in what you were saying before I came on. we had, in this particular photo, we used to have two lanes of car traffic. And then where you see the platform there, this is a small section where there is not parking, but there's still street parking along there. So that mostly the street parking is intact there. The rest of the corridor, there were two and three vehicular lanes and no protected bike lane and no protected bus lane. So what the propositions were on last Monday were, one, to keep it exactly the way it is, where we only have one lane of traffic, regular car traffic through the corridor, and, you know, start laying concrete, making it permanent. Option two was, let's continue this test a little further down the road and make some minor tweaks and see if that works. And then option three was to basically consolidate all the sections where there was a split bike and bus lane into what you see in this photo, a shared bike and bus lane, so that we can bring back one extra lane of car traffic. So we'll have two lanes of vehicular traffic through most of the project instead of only one. And those of us that voted for it consider it a compromise. There were 38.
Yeah, actually, in a normal world, all three would be car lanes. But yeah, that's a compromise. This is Washington Boulevard.
Yeah, this is Washington between La Cienega and Robertson.
When you say there were 200 people there till 2 in the morning, how many of them were from these bike organizations?
Well, we didn't. Did they
send a lot there, though?
Yeah, for sure. It was, you know, look, these guys are really well organized, and they're really passionate about what they, you know, what they're passionate about. And I think that's great. I think I need to listen to them. But we also have constituents in the city feel otherwise.
Okay, but when they take over two-thirds of a road, I have a feeling it's not about just riding a bike. I think these are climate fanatics who want to drive people out of their cars. Like the bike agenda is their cover story, and who's going to get mad about biking, right? Oh, isn't that wonderful? Yeah, they need a place to bike. Okay, fine. You get one lane. But they went for two lanes. Now, you go for two lanes, it means you're trying to shut down people driving to work and back. That's what you're really doing here. Because you don't even want to compromise. And that's what you're up against. So, you're up against climate fanatics here, not just bicyclists.
So, you know, I mean, the climate's an important thing, and acknowledging that's important. But
I know, but we can't shut down modern society over it.
And I think that they would agree with you, honestly, that they want to, you know, instead of incentivize people to shift to buses and bikes by providing, you know, more frequent stops, you know, a more robust public transportation system. Their first step was to make it just really difficult to drive a car.
Yeah, right. And that's what they're after, because you and I know, and they know, that there's never going to be a mass transportation system that works in the LA area. That's just impossible for a lot of major reasons.
I think Culver City is a unique thing. You know, we're only 5 square miles. And we have a lot of control over, you know, what impacts us. And I think that we can provide a pretty robust public transport system for people within our borders. And we're gonna work towards that. So that's basically what our vote was let's give some, you know, some common sense to what is before us right now. And you know, reduce the frustration, listen to the community. You know, 85% of people polled in Culver City wanted this either removed or changed significantly.
85%?
Because they're all stuck in traffic. Because 98% of people take the car to do their business every day. A handful of people, mostly the very poor, get on a bus. And then you have the spandex weirdos. That's how the population breaks down. Most of us are normal people, and we got to drive around in a car. And we should rule, and we should dictate how the roads are used, not them. They're a tiny minority.
Well, what we need to do is make it worthwhile to get on a bus.
It's not going to happen. That's never going to happen.
Well, I
would never take a bus. I would never take a bus unless I was at gunpoint, and even then, maybe not. No, buses are really slow, really slow. There's a lot of undesirable people on the buses. I'm going to get somewhere. I'm going to get somewhere as quickly as possible. I'm busy. I got things to do. I can't stand there for 20 minutes wait on a bus and then sit with all the weirdos. And then I'm dropped off at a random corner, and I got to walk a half a mile to my destination. Nobody's going to do that. Middle-aged people who have families and kids and jobs and things? No, never.
In Culver City, if I could get within the city faster door-to-door on some form of public transportation, I would do it. But you're right. Right now, we can't do it. There's not enough frequency in the route. So, you know, that's our goal. Our goal within Culver City, that's what we can control, increase the frequency.
What's the market for it? See, I don't mean to be contentious, but some of this stuff is driving me crazy. You have to have a market before you put out a product. You're telling me 85% of the people want these lanes scrapped. What does that tell you? That there isn't much of a market to get on a bus, because you don't have 85% of the people saying, hey, give us more buses. This is great. You have 85% of the people who wouldn't care if you ended your bus line entirely.
So let me clarify. 85%, 47% of that wants to keep this as a modified version of. And 38% wanted it scrapped altogether. So it's not everyone wanted it entirely scrapped. People,
how many of them? What percentage of people in Culver City you think actually use the bike lanes? Because I remember you remember some years ago, because we were when we were in Playa del Rey, and Mike Bonin's Road Diet, and we stood out in the street for an hour and counted 5 bikes going by while the traffic backed up for a couple of miles. 5 bicycles during rush hours, either the 4 or 5 o'clock hour. People don't take bikes very much. And if you look at buses, because I count the people on the buses every day in Santa Monica, I see less than 5 people on the average bus in the morning.
Yeah, I think it's because it runs too slowly. So part of that solution is, you know, giving space for buses, but also the problem is that they don't run frequently enough. You don't have. I have a friend who just got back from Paris, and he's like, "Yeah, it was great there. If he missed a bus, it wasn't life or death, because 5 minutes later there was another bus." So, you know, we need to make it easier to take these modes of transportation. And you asked the question, how many people are riding a bike? I think our data poll showed that, you know, I think it was around 400 people a day. So that's all day long, and that includes weekends when there's a lot of recreational cyclists. So, but our goal in Culver City is to make the public transportation, you know, be a desirable choice. So that's not out the window. And this photo that you see that says bus bike only lane, that is what will be there. That's what we voted on. Instead of taking up 2/3 of the road with a split bike bus lane.
Well, so that's great progress, Dan. You ought to be congratulated for that.
Well, Dan, thanks a lot for coming on the air. We just got to go, but we appreciate you talking to us about this.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. That's Culver City Councilman Dan O'Brien. Excuse me. They voted 3-2 to actually add back car lanes and take out the separate bus and bike lanes that were in there for a year or so. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640 live everywhere. iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
By the way, there's 40,000 people in Culver City, not to mention all the rest of the county that passes through Culver City. You got 400 bikers? That's 1%.
Yeah, you know, one of those stories that we had in the pile about this Culver City situation said, oh, since the pilot program was installed, a big uptick in people using the bus and people riding bikes, but I don't believe it.
Yeah, show me the numbers. Those people lie.
They use percentages, so percentages can be tricky.
Yeah, sure. It went from 50 to 70, and it's like, wow, that's a 40% increase.
Right. No, that's how they play the
they're
game.
They're lying. So you got 40.
No, it's not the real world. In the real world, people have to use their car to get anywhere in Southern California. And they'll continue to be that way for probably decades to come.
Ever. There's a book I read which had a chapter on the California. The book was actually written, I think in the late 70s, early 80s. And there was a chapter about the department, California Department of Transportation, Caltrans. And they had just set up in the late 70s, the HOV lanes. And one of the employees or, you know, one of the administrators there said, yeah, the goal is to make it unpleasant to be on the freeway and force people into carpooling and use the diamond lanes. This was in the late 70s. Now, that never happened. And it's now over 45 years and it still hasn't happened. You didn't force anybody to use the diamond lanes in carpool. People may, by chance, have an extra passenger in their car on any given day and use the lane, but nobody changes their life habits.
I remember Rideshare Thursday.
Yeah. Nobody, you notice
you refused to ride with me. I was going to ride with you every Thursday for Rideshare Thursday.
Do you hear that phrase anymore? No.
I heard a lady say it a couple of months ago, like an FM jock woman.
Oh, one of
first
those
time people. I'd heard that in ages. She said it. It's Rideshare Thursday. I'm
must,
like, what?
Must have been an old.
And this is during COVID. I'm like, I thought that would really be for the outs.
Yeah, I guess COVID destroyed the carpool crowd. Well, she must have found an index card that was trapped under the control board.
Some old PSA, right?
Yeah, from 1997. It's like, no, there's no Rideshare Thursdays. It will never happen. You're not going to change human nature. You should accommodate cars 100%. Of all the city officials' work should be accommodating drivers of automobiles. 100%. Stop worrying about buses, trains, bikes. Forget about it. Doesn't work. Failed experiments. 50 years of failed experiments. Doesn't work. Too bad.
We'll be all roads. It's all we'll be. Just should build be. More roads.
That's right. Right. Build more roads.
Just be highway pavement everywhere.
That's right. Pave more land, and you'll see. Life will be better.
Speaking of cars, a quick funny one from an El Segundo Times columnist named Mariel Garza, a deputy editorial page editor. I remember her. I think she was a reporter years ago that we mocked. Anyway, the theme of this editorial she wrote is that she's going to give up her EV. She's thinking about it. I love my electric car. I really do. I love how I never have to buy gas. I love how it glides quietly up the street. I love that there's so much pickup I can blow past gas-powered muscle cars if I want to. I love having stickers that allow me to drive solo in the HOV lanes. And I love that routine maintenance consists of little more than rotating the tires. But after 3 years, I'm thinking seriously of trading it in for the gas-powered hybrid plug-in version.
She can't.
And the reason why is, right, she can't get a charging station.
There's no charging stations. And we've
apparently she drives a lot around the state and she has a real tough time charging up the car.
We've been telling you this for years. There are no charging stations. And the ones that exist, many of them are busted.
There's also
they don't function.
Right.
And there's nobody maintaining these charging stations.
She says about 25% of them are out when she goes places.
And most of them are slow charging stations. You have to sit there for 6 hours. I remember the Wall Street Journal had a writer who did this story. She drove from New Orleans to Chicago. And there, she was there for an hour charging her car. She got 9 miles worth of juice. 9 miles.
Yeah, she says, I didn't count on having to wait 60 minutes to charge because the fast charger I went to is not charging very fast today. So sometimes that don't even work as advertised.
No. Most of them are slow chargers. Then you have fast chargers that are slow. Yeah. And then you have a lot of chargers that are busted. And you call the 800 number and you don't get any help. Because what are they going to do?
She has to download half a dozen apps because every charging company has its own app. So she's trying to find where they are, but she has to, they're all separated.
Wow. They're not easy to find. I have an app that helps, but it only gives me a general location. Public charging stations are often tucked away in remote corners of parking lots or behind buildings. No helpful signage. Yeah, then a homeless person will jump you with a machete. They might be only accessible during business hours or if it's in a hotel only for paying guests to use. And you might discover all the chargers are in use or blocked by cars not charging. In fact, I was in Whole Foods just yesterday.
What?
My wife sent me on a mission to Whole Foods.
All right.
And
I'm going to call you a phony. You pick on the Whole Foods people.
I do. Although it is entertaining to see that the wieners never change. Hmm. All the pale women and frail men who populate Whole Foods. So I go there to buy something for my wife. And as I'm rolling to the parking lot, I hear an exchange. I just rolled down the window. I was walking in and I heard it. And some guy desperately needed an electric charge. But someone already had the charging station plugged in, right? They already had plugged in their car to the charging station. And this guy was asking if there was another one. It's like, no, that's the only one. Well, it's being used. It's like, well, what do you want me to do? And I'm thinking,
yeah, it's like when you really have to go and the toilet stall is occupied, the one stall in the store.
That's just, and the thing is, you plug in, that guy might be sitting there 2 hours, right?
You're not supposed to. Well, yeah, if it's a slow charger, it could take 2 hours.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. And Tesla has a rule with their fast chargers. If you go beyond the time it takes to charge your car up, they'll start charging you money.
The
idle time, they call it, idle time fees.
Yeah, and it says here, not uncommon to locate a charging station, discover all the chargers are in use or blocked by cars not charging, or the chargers may be offline or non-functional, which you may not discover until you park, plug in, and try to start the charger. And even if you find an available one, it might shut off mid-charge with no warning or no reason. When I choose an electrical vehicle for a trip, I know that meant 30 extra minutes in travel time for charging stops. I didn't count on time wasted by having to backtrack to another station or one out of my way because the charging station was not working. I didn't count on having to wait 60 minutes to charge because the fast charger is not charging fast today, or spend time waiting in the baking sun because the charging station has no shade. And she writes, I could fill up a book recounting the many frustrating and absurd experiences I've had charging over the last 3 years and 3 months. And she hasn't even hit 23,000 miles on the car yet. Oh, my God. Never in hell would I go through that. Never. Never, 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 never. I'd rather put on spandex and drive a bike. Oh, yeah, yay.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
There's nothing better than a gas-powered car. Nothing. And there never will be.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
You know, there's talk about AM radio being removed from new cars and trucks. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, Bill just mentioned it.
Who did?
Handle. They just ran a spot with Handle a minute ago.
Oh, all right. Well,
Go ahead, do it again.
Yeah, then why do we read these if we're running them every hour?
Because we're all in danger here. That's why. This is an existential threat to our existence.
Well, a text alert on your phone is not a substitute for what happens in a natural disaster. Broadcast radio provides you much information in times of need, and an online text alert cannot take the place of the voice on the radio talking to you 24/7 until the emergency passes. When emergencies occur, your local broadcast radio station's there, providing wall-to-wall coverage. I think we've said enough about what AM radio provides. Anyway, you need to make your voice heard on this issue. Text the letters AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio on all cars and trucks. Standard message and...
The hell with the emergency services. AM radio provides us. You want to hear us in your car?
Gee, you're really on a march today.
Well, no, I mean, there's a emergency, you know, once every few years, but this is every day here.
But think, if there is an emergency, how many more people be flocking to KFI as AM survives what the others can't?
We'll be the last ones left.
All the internet is broken.
That's
everybody's
right.
Everybody's little apps are broken.
That's right. You know,
podcasts are broken.
One electromagnetic pulse from the Chinese military, that'll wipe out the entire internet.
That's right. That's right. And when we get nuked by Putin.
But our big
and
throbbing.
And it destroys a lot of infrastructure.
Our big throbbing tower in La Mirada will still be standing.
Yeah, but if that goes over. Oh, there's a backup, right?
That's right. So we went over once, remember?
We did, yes.
We still went on.
There was actually a memo years ago about where we go when something like this happens to broadcast or something like that.
Yes.
To like the backup.
I broadcast out of
there. If it's that bad.
I broadcast out of there once.
All right, well, here's another chapter in homeless encampments and neighborhoods and how really wild it can get. We take you to the Highland Park neighborhood of Los Angeles. If you're not familiar, we're talking an area near downtown around Little Tokyo and Chinatown. It is the council district of one Eunice Hernandez. Holy mackerel, we threw her in the dumpster last week.
She is the worst.
The one that thought electric vehicles had catalytic converters. This is about a homeless guy. I don't think you want to. It's one thing to see the drugs, but you see a guy wandering around the neighborhood with an axe. Here we go. This report comes from KTLA reporter Annie Rose Ramos.
I want to give you a little bit of a better idea about where I'm standing. I'm standing on Marmion Way. It is a small residential street in this neighborhood of Highland Park. On one side, the street is completely lined with homes. On the other side is the Metro Rail line. And you can see of the stations is behind me. Further up this street on Marmion Way, there is a green space, a park in between the metro station and those homes. And it is there that residents say a homeless encampment has been built up. And recently, one of the men living in that encampment has been wielding a machete, walking around the area, trying to chop down trees in the homes of this area, trying to chop down trees of some of the homes in the front yards. And at one point recently, it was all caught on camera, that video being shared with us. We want to take a look at some of that surveillance video. A resident here saying they wanted to show it with us because they really had no other option. They didn't know what else to do in order to see a change. Now, you can see in the video, you can see a man with a machete in his hand trying to cut down those trees in the front yard. Residents telling us he also brings along a drum set too, making noise and disturbing the neighborhood at all hours of the day and night. Homeowners say they've called the city's 311 hotline of help, repeatedly asking for help, but nothing's been done. The woman who lives in the house where the video is coming from, her name is Tracy. She says she can't live comfortably in her home or neighborhood knowing this armed individual is out there. Here's more of what she had to say.
As a woman, I'm worried about walking through my neighborhood because I don't know what kind of mood this person would be in, and I know that he's armed.
Walks up and down the street screaming profanity, and he does have multiple weapons, such as hammers, machetes, things like that. So it is a safety issue.
All right, we did hear back from the council member who represents this area, Eunice Hernandez. In a statement, she writes in part, quote, "Our office is aware that there is an encampment in this area and has been working with the city departments and service providers to coordinate service delivery and schedule cleanings here." Now, the frustrating reality is that there is a huge gap in housing, services, and resources available to meet the current need. Now, back here live, the neighbors in this residential area, they tell us that in the past year, that homeless encampment
All right, you know what? Stop. I can't take this woman. You know, how come the reporters don't call out the BS? Because chopping somebody's tree down on their property is a crime. You could arrest him and put him into jail, all right?
He just needs wood.
Whacking a drum set all hours of the day and night, that's a crime. You could put them in jail.
Well, what is mental illness that they don't get control of? Right?
What is this? Eunice Hernandez says that, you know, we're making all efforts. No, you're not. He's committing crimes.
Oh, did you see about her first part of her statement? We want to ensure everyone in my district, housed and unhoused, feels safe and secure.
That's right. And so,
first of all, the unhoused are not part of your community or your neighborhood.
No, this crazy vagrant is waving an axe around, and he's chopping trees down, and he's about 5 minutes away from chopping somebody's head off. And Eunice Hernandez won't do anything about it. I don't think people understand they've elected a woman here who lets a guy with an axe run around, and the police are told to stand down. It says the police were called and they talked to the guy. The thing is, I looked at this. What channel was that?
Five.
Okay, that's the script I have here. But I was reading the Daily Mail article out England, and they had a reporter there. And it says, on Tuesday, Daily Mail saw the man roaming the area with self-made sandals strapped with tape to his feet and nose plugs in his nostrils attached to some sort of headdress. Wow. He was brandishing his axe and chopping off branches of trees.
Sounds like a ritual.
Now, did this TV reporter not see that? Or had he taken out the nostril plugs and the headdress? See, this explains how insane he is, even more vividly than what Channel 5 discovered.
Right.
And there's a picture of him with his nostrils plugged and his headdress. One of the women, Tracy, in the neighborhood, says she has called the 311 hotline dozens of times, but nothing has happened. That is, one woman has called dozens of times. But Karen Bassetti and this loonbag, Eunice Hernandez, refuse to do anything about it. He gets to run around chopping people's trees down with his machete. He gets to do that. He gets to play his drums all night. And you can call 311 until a comet hits our planet and knocks us out of orbit. And Karen Bassetti and Eunice Hernandez, and I'm glad we have these compassionate women running the city.
Eunice Hernandez is one of the socialist Democrats. This is not an issue for them.
No.
The unhoused need our help and support. This is why they keep... I mean, that's where it got you really wound up. When we don't have the services to meet the demands.
Yes, you do. No. It's called a jail cell. It says here, another homeless man is seen sitting with what appeared to be a makeshift sword. This is a second guy.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's another guy with a weapon?
Yeah. Another local woman, Linda, says she's been disappointed by the official response so far.
Yeah, no kidding.
Who did you vote for? These are Karen Bass,
Eunice Hernandez. She just got elected. That was Garcetti's seat, I think.
Garcetti, I meant Gil Cedillo. Does anybody think that if Rick Caruso was sitting home last night and saw the axe guy with the headdress and the nostrils plugged sitting on his couch,
he would immediately have something done?
That the police would not have taken him away immediately and locked him up somewhere? But instead, you get this babbling drivel diarrhea from Eunice Hernandez. Well, you know, we want the housed and the unhoused to both feel sick. Oh, my God. I can't believe you people put up with this.
The world is so upside down.
Yeah, go ahead.
We allow people to just wander into neighborhoods and suddenly they're a part of the community and we have to care for them.
And people,
when did that happen?
And people call 311 thinking that someone's going to do something. That's what's a riot. They constantly promote 311. Yes, dial 311. Dial 311. You call 311. You might as well ask your dog to do something about it. In fact, your dog might.
Might do more. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
The Moist Line is coming back day after tomorrow. So we are collecting messages. We have the nets out there. We're rounding up the messages. One way to do it is the iHeartRadio app. Use the microphone icon. A lot of people do that. It's a nice, clear sound on the air. Or you call the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. A couple of things we're going to cover next hour. Pretty important. We're still feeling the fallout from the huge unemployment fraud that cascaded over California back in 2020 into 21, I think even into 22. $30 billion and more stolen. In the end, someone has to pay for that. That someone might be a whole lot of employers. We'll explain what that means.
You run a small business, bend over.
After 3 o'clock, and we're also going to have Brian Claypool on the air. He's a tireless attorney who often represents children and child abuse cases. And wow, this one out of Santa Monica is almost hard to believe. But apparently a man got away with sexually abusing children, mostly boys, for nearly 3 decades. It says here he was a civilian employee with the Santa Monica Police Department. Eric Uhler was considered a standout public servant who won awards for his technological innovations. But apparently he was a volunteer in the police activity, police athletic, or let's call it the police
athletic lead.
No, it's police activities.
Oh, police activities?
Yeah,
oh,
okay. See, I thought it was PAL, too, but I think that's a New York City thing, PAL.
This
PAL is Police Activities League, or they changed it.
Or same thing.
He's been working since the 80s with boys and girls, and guess what happened? And
Those guys who volunteered
to work
with children.
It took decades to reveal he was a sexual predator. Brian Claypool will have more on that story also in the big 3 o'clock hour. It's a little late in the afternoon for lunch, but would anybody care to partake in a word salad? Anybody? Anybody interested?
Is it a Kamala Harris word salad?
It sure is.
Those
now,
are the
listen
tastiest.
To this. Let's set this up correctly. We didn't even mention yesterday when Biden put out that video announcing he's running for re-election, who appeared with him? Kamala Harris.
It didn't even occur to me.
He did. He wanted to make it clear that she's on the ticket.
God.
They sent her right out there to make a speech at Howard University. She's an alumni. About abortion. Because that's going to be her big thing.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to figure out a way to increase her poll numbers. Because they're pretty poor.
And not enough has been said about abortion. More needs to be said.
Well, I guess that Supreme Court decision kind of brought it back big time.
Well, yeah. But it's settled.
It's been out of the news.
It settled the
issue,
though.
Well, you said that with the last decision, Roe v. Wade. You thought that settled the issue. Maybe you said that on the air.
It did for 50 years.
Okay.
Nothing lasts forever.
That isn't settled. That's like life without parole. They're still getting released,
Now it's settled.
Until the next Supreme Court mix.
Maybe 50 years from now.
All we have to have is a couple of Supreme Court justices bend over and die. And Biden replaces them, and we could have a whole completely different decision in a year or two.
And you know what's going to change the course of that? Whatever Kamala Harris says about it.
Well, that brings us to another, this one's really good, word salad. We have about 30 seconds for her speech about abortion rights.
So I think it's very important, as you have heard from so many incredible leaders, for us at every moment in time, and certainly this one, to see the moment in time in which we exist and are present, and to be able to contextualize it. To understand where we exist in the history and in the moment as it relates not only to the past, but the future.
The circular talk that she now engages in is fascinating.
It doesn't get any better. It doesn't change.
It does not. But she's been on this run for the last 6 months where she's doing this circular thing. We were laughing because she giggles a lot and she was excited, remember, by electric school buses.
Can you imagine?
But this thing she's in now, she talks in bizarre circles.
And she's incoherent. So we've got a president and vice president who are incoherent. Neither one of them can speak a short paragraph. Neither one of them.
That's why they don't speak a lot.
Well, because they can't communicate. Now
he stays in the basement, then he heads to Delaware every weekend, she's pretty much kept under wraps.
He's senile. But what's it with her? I really do think it's drugs.
She was Attorney General and Senator for California, there wasn't a lot of coverage of her speaking. So, have been like this.
We got to find some old clips because it's not hard to find clips from Biden just a few years ago where he's really strong and focused and he's talking a blue streak, right?
Yeah,
yeah. And so it's really clear that his brain is rotted out. Kamala Harris, I'm gonna do that tonight. I'm gonna go look for old speeches of hers to see if she always talked this way. I don't remember that. First time I noticed her speaking was when she became senator and she was grilling the Supreme Court candidates. And I thought she was actually kind of scary sharp. I really did. And I briefly thought that, yeah, she might be a formidable candidate. And I even during the debates, why she made some bad decisions, like when she decided to go after Joe Biden for being a racist, right? That was like a dumb thing to do. The busing thing. She still was coherent about it. This started after she became vice president, as far as my memory goes.
And you've touched on two different things, because the examples you cited, she's kind of talking off the top of her head. But in this case, she's trying to give a speech.
Somebody's writing this for her?
Well, I don't think so. It's hard to believe that someone's writing this for her. I think she's taking a theme and trying to expand on it. I mean, I want to read these words because it's almost hard to believe. This is what we just played for you. So I think it's very important, if you have heard from many incredible leaders for us at every moment in time, and certainly this one, to see the moment in time in which we exist in our present and be able to contextualize it, to understand where we exist in the history and the moment as it relates not only to the past, but the future. That is unbelievable. I'm not even sure that could come out of somebody ad-libbed. I don't know how you do that, except... The brain gets stuck on something. It's all about the past, the future, the present, that kind of thing.
Unless you're stoned and you're trying to be poetic.
Yeah, it does sound like somebody's...
Doesn't it sound like a...
Had an all-nighter and is just standing in the middle of the room, just kind of, hey, man.
Like college students, right? Trying to be heavy and deep and profound. I don't know. Yeah. I was never that guy. So I wasn't in college. I never got stoned like that. I don't know. It's always been the stereotype that some people would get stoned and then try to be metaphysical about the world.
I'm trying to look at the faces behind her while she speaks here to see if they're confused, but they're holding signs. It's reproductive freedom signs.
Yeah.
They're just kind of politely smiling.
Just like Biden and his senility, everybody stands there and pretends nothing's wrong. Both of their brains.
Because people usually tune out speeches. They're all so boring. It's like listening to your college professor lecture. Half of them are asleep.
They're missing good laughs.
All right. When we return, this is important, particularly if you're a small business owner. Something has to be done because California is in heavy, heavy debt to the federal government over unemployment money. You can probably guess where a lot of that came from, all the fraud that took over. And the California unemployment system back in 2020 into 21, even into 22, $30 billion plus stolen. We'll tell you how that affects you and what the bill might be. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right.
reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.